Cornucopia Radio presents.
The following fictional radio play contains scenes of an adult and sexual nature. Please do not listen if you are easily offended. For Lucy by Kevin Cordell.
You like it? I bought it for Lucy. Lucy's my girlfriend. Do you think she'll like it? Of course she will. How could she not? It's in the genes, isn't it? Girls and women always like soft, cuddly things, don't they? They never grow out of it. Not that Lizzie Cooper will have the chance to now. I've just seen Lucy. She was coming out of the shop and I was over the road in the park. I don't think she saw me. She wouldn't be expecting to until late on tonight. We wouldn't have been able to stop and talk even if she had seen me. Not with her family. She looked so beautiful standing there. Bag dangling at her side. One hand holding some milk. The other covering her mouth as she laughed at some joke or other. Her whole face lights up when she laughs. I fell in love with her all over again. We've been together 6 months now. So long as she's ever been with someone, she says. Obviously, I've had relationships that lasted longer than that. Christ, dozens of them. But I am somewhat older than Lucy is. Not that that makes any difference to Lucy and I, the age difference, not at all. I remember reading about a couple who got married. It was in all the papers. This couple got married when he was 70 and she was 17. There's nothing like that big a gap between us, nothing like. And anyway, we both feel it doesn't matter. I like the way she pretends to be vulnerable and innocent. And she says that my maturity and experience of the world and things makes her feel like a real woman. Lucy knew Lizzie. Knew of her. Apparently Lizzie used to walk past Lucy's gate most mornings on her way to school. Poor Lizzie. Lucy cried. She's very caring like that. Do you think Lucy will like the present? I thought if I bought her something cute, something to make her smile... Lucy hurt me once. It was just after we started seeing each other. We'd spent a couple of hours together and she said she had to go. I missed her as soon as she left, so I dressed quickly and chased after her. I think I was hoping I might catch up with her before she got home and we could have one more hug. I wasn't quick enough. When I got to her street, she was standing there holding him. Her old man. Standing there with their arms wrapped around each other. In broad daylight. She kind of wriggled her body against him like she did to me sometimes. And he kissed her. Right there on the street, in front of everybody. In front of me. He kissed her on the top of the head like I kiss her, after we've made love and I want to tell her how much I love her and don't know how. Like I'd kissed her less than an hour ago. When she swore I was her one true love. She broke my heart that day. The next time I saw her, I told her what I'd seen. I wept. She held me and cried too, and she told me she was sorry that it would never ever happen again. And she promised. Promised that even though she did care for him, she didn't love him in the same way that she loved me, that I was her one and only true love. And she promised that as soon as she could, she would leave him and be with me, that she wanted to be with me. And so everything was all right again. Lizzie Cooper will never be all right again. We see each other as often as we can. If we're lucky, 2-3 times a week. One week, when she had a holiday, we managed to see each other every day for 5 days. It was fantastic. We talked and we laughed, told each other silly jokes, ate ice cream together. One afternoon, we just lay in bed holding each other. Didn't talk at all. Last week, I only saw her once. It was agony. I was so lonely. I stood near the trees in the park most afternoons and watched her walk home, wanting to just reach out and touch her. I know. Now you think I'm some sort of hopeless romantic wimp, a softy. Well, I can't help it. I'm that kind of guy. The trees I was standing by weren't the same trees where they found Lizzie Cooper. Those trees are down by the pond. You know how the top of the park, the school end, is higher than the shop's end, and the path sort of meanders back and forth down the slope and splits into two? Well, if you take the right-hand path, it splits again around the trees I was standing by and takes you out of the park either at the shops or towards the bus terminus. But if you take the left-hand path, you end up walking two-thirds of the way around the pond and out into the housing estate. The edge of the pond you can't get to on that path is filled with trees. And that's where they found Lizzie Cooper. Poor Lizzie. Her body looked so small. Do you think she'll like it? I hope she does. Of course she will. I don't know why I'm so worried. It's not as if I've only just met her. I know exactly what she likes and doesn't like. The first time I saw her was at a church fundraising barbecue. She was there with her family. We hit it off straight away. She had a vitality about her that made you want to gravitate towards her. Still has sometimes. I think, looking back, that I was attracted to her even then, when she was so much younger than she is now. But I also was so much younger, less experienced. The age difference seemed important then, prohibitive somehow. Stupid when I think of it now. I've learned so much since then. I've grown to understand that I'm more at ease with the younger rather than the older woman. That their joy of living, their unfettered, untarnished expectations are what excite me and give me satisfaction. A lot of my growing up has been since I met Lucy. Beautiful Lucy. I can feel my heartbeat race just at the thought of being with her. After the barbecue, we often bumped into each other. I found myself being where she was likely to be just to hear her laugh at our accidentally bumping into each other again. If I saw her in the park in which she was alone, we'd sit on a bench near bushes that sheltered us from the breeze and scandal-mongering eyes and talk. We found we were spending more and more time on that bench, getting closer, learning about each other, falling in love. I wonder if it would happen the same way now, knowing that Lizzie Cooper's body had been found so near to that bench. You cannot know what a difference meeting Lucy has made to my life. She's transformed it. For the first time ever, I feel alive. I wake up in the morning with a smile on my face. I count every endless hour until we see each other again. I feel younger, fitter. The sun is brighter, birdsong sweeter. The world, even with its pain and misery, it's a beautiful place. God, it's so wonderful to be in love. You should see that look in her eyes. Such wide, innocent eyes. Feel the shiver that ripples through that fragile body when I touch her. Her gasp when... No, you shouldn't. Those moments are for me. Me alone. Those are my moments. I did try dating women my own age, but it didn't work. The world had warped them, made them cynical, too rigid in their thinking. Lizzie Cooper's grandmother was the nicest, the closest I ever came to a long-term commitment. 11 months, 3 weeks, one day. But even she didn't understand about the photographs. Pity, really. Or maybe not. Maybe if I'd stayed with Jenny Cooper, I would never have met Lucy. Lucy. Untouched by the world. An empty vessel into which to pour my love. Wide open to new experiences and ideas. Like a virgin in a pit of whores. I used to spend evenings wandering through town. Have a pint, go to the pictures maybe. Watch the queues outside the nightclubs. I remember saying to one of the bouncers, "Some of those girls don't look much older than 16. He said, "16? Look again, mate. More like 12. Wearing short skirts. Bare legs. Low, tight tops, heels that make their arse wiggle when they walk, flirting, taunting, offering what I shouldn't take, asking for it. I wonder if Lizzie Cooper asked for it. She was naked when they found her, but I doubt that she'd been dressed like a tart. Not if Jenny had anything to do with it. Lucy wears nice clothes, almost conservative. When it's hot, she wears shorts and a strappy top to show off her arms and legs, and nothing more revealing than that. She can never be one of those nightclub girls with their suggestive, teasing ways, rubbing their bodies against you, offering, daring you, laughing at you when you reach for them, giving it in some piss-reeking alley to an uncaring prick who just wants it over and done with so he can mark her on his scorecard, boast to his mate and have another pint. Poor blind fools. A real man has so much more to offer. Lucy was a virgin when I met her. I was very gentle. It was a Saturday afternoon. I'd drawn the curtains to create a little ambience, make it more intimate. Made sure I'd straighten the bed. Put tissues nearby. We took it slowly. Listened to music. Talked. Had a couple of drinks. I carried her upstairs. It was romantic. There were tears, of course. There almost always are the first time. I think that's something that the majority of men fail to realise. For a girl, the transition from child to woman is a highly emotive event. I like to think that I made it wonderful for Lucy. Afterwards, I held her close and told her stories with a central character called Lucy. She liked that. I was in the library once, and this woman was giving a talk on using certificates to trace your family tree. She said that up to about 80 years ago, it was legal for boys of 14 and girls of 12 to get married. When you look at all the unmarried mothers and teenage pregnancies there are nowadays, then you wonder why that law was changed. It's obvious from the statistics that girls are as capable and eager to engage in sexual union in today's society as they were 80 years ago. In fact, given that life is so much better now, we're all so much healthier, don't you think it's quite reasonable to believe that girls younger than 12, maybe even as young as 8 or 9, given the right set of circumstances and an understanding partner, are also capable of enjoying the wonders of sex? I wonder if Lizzie Cooper did. It would be nice to think her death wasn't the result of her one and only experience of lovemaking. Her picture was in the paper. Pretty girl. Dark hair. Wide, trusting eyes. She was 11. What a waste. After the first time, there were no more tears. Lucy said it didn't hurt as much, and I'm glad of that. I'd never want to do anything to hurt her. She's my whole world. It frightens me how much Lucy means to me. The way she laughs, pouts. The ache deep inside to have her laying at my side. The shine in her eyes when she's looking up at me. I need her so much. And I want to tell everyone I meet. But I don't. I can't. They wouldn't understand. All they see is the outside, the physical. They have no conception of what is going on inside. Their minds are blinkered, shuttered against the possibility there could be anything good or beautiful in anything other than a conventional relationship. Did they bless the marriage of that 70-year-old and 17-year-old? Did they say, "Isn't that sweet?" No, they condemned it. The sanctimonious, narrow-minded bigots threw up their hands in horror. How could this happen? How could it be allowed? The girl's only 17. She's only a child. Merely a child. No, no, no! She is not merely a child. She's not merely a child. On the inside, she is a woman. A beautiful, loving woman with the wants and needs and desires of a woman. Why can't people see that? Why do they only see a child? Age is immaterial. It's the woman trapped inside that's important. The woman inside that needs to be acknowledged, nurtured, helped to blossom. People are so blind. I was in the park when they found Lizzie Cooper. I saw her body. I I'd been there about an hour, looking at some photographs I'd taken of Lucy. Two police cars came and parked to the tree end of the pond. By the time I'd walked down, more cars had arrived and people were walking in and out of the wood. A crowd had gathered and I listened to what they were saying, but no one seemed to know what was happening. Then two people came out of the woods, carrying a stretcher with a body bag on it, and I heard someone whisper, "Lizzie Cooper." Her body hardly made a bump in the bag. As I turned to leave, one of the police cars drove past me, and I saw the man in the back. His hands were handcuffed, and he was trying to hold a blanket over his head. He looked ordinary. A bit pale. Dark patches under his eyes, but other than that, he was just someone you'd pass in the street. About my age, maybe a year or two younger. Maybe a haunted look in the eyes. That could have been my imagination. Ordinary. I thought about him later that evening. When Lucy came, she'd already heard, and our time together was spent with me holding her as she cried. But later, after Lucy had gone, I thought about him again. Wondered how he must feel. How seeing him had put my life into perspective. My life, my perception of my life, has been one of loneliness, of being apart, out of sync with the people around me, always being on the outsides of any group. No real, genuine friends. Not since Uncle Graham left when I was about 9 anyway. But thinking of that man under the blanket made me realise that even if I am out of sync and always on the outer edge of groups, even if I don't have any close friends and feel lonely most of the time, even if it's all true, even then, I've never truly been alone. Alone like that man. Wherever he is, he's without friends, without the comfort of strangers. Alone in a stark cell, a stark future, a stark present. No one anywhere thinking tender thoughts of him. No arms of a loved one to hold him, warm him, tell him, "I'm here. We'll get through this." No one to understand. Totally, absolutely, alone. I wonder how it happened. Did he know her? Love her? Did his love for her become uncontrollable? Did it have to be expressed no matter what? I can understand that. Or did that ordinary face hide an animal? Did he see her daily walking to and from school, laughing, skipping, playing, jumping so that her skirt rode up, exposing herself, flaunting, taunting, daring him to want her, take her? Did he feel it rising inside him, that need, that ache, the agony of desire? Did he go to her, lift her tender body, take what she had promised? No, surely not. No, surely no man could be such a monster. No. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if he loved her or not. Lizzie Cooper is dead. Do you think he knew? Would a man like him know that there was a killer inside him? Is it possible to not know? He looked so ordinary. Just a man with needs that people don't understand. An ordinary man who only wants to love and be loved. A man who in the final moments, the final ecstatic, unguarded moments of giving and taking that love, is so filled with revulsion of what he is that the beast is set free and kills the object of its desire, the cause of its revulsion. Do you think Lucy will like Fluffy? I bought him to cheer her up. Lucy doesn't come to see me anymore. She says it's because her parents are making her stay near the house, because of Lizzie Cooper. I don't think it's that, though. I think she's getting tired of me, that she's forgotten how much we love each other. Fluffy will remind her. I'm going to the park now to see her. It's about time for her to be walking home. I hope she's alone so that I can talk to her. Maybe hold her hand if there's no one about.
For Lucy was written and performed by Kevin Cordell and was produced by Peter Beeston for broadcast on Sheffield Live. If you or anybody else you know is concerned about serious issues of child abuse, then please ring the NSPCC helpline on 0808 800 5000. This work is copyright Cornucopia Radio 2010.